Big Oil Check-In, exploring the end of the age of oil.
In northeastern states, the oil and propane used to heat buildings represent a key vulnerability to the triple challenges we're facing: peak oil, climate change, and economic collapse. Here in Vermont, more than half of all buildings are heated with oil. The people in those buildings are at risk of oil price spikes, as we saw in 2008. Located at the end of a long supply chain, we're especially susceptible to the effects of any supply disruptions. And at current prices, heating oil purchases send around $400 billion out of the state each year. That's a lot of jobs that could be created if the money was kept here. Vermont is 80% forested, so the natural relocalizing solution is to use wood heat. The amount of wood in the state's forests is increasing faster than it's harvested, and supply chains are short. Communities are now showing that there are more creative and efficient ways to heat with wood than putting a wood stove in every home. To be sure, modern wood stoves have a lot to say for them. They're efficient, their particulate emissions are significantly less than their forebears, and what can beat the feeling of sitting or standing next to a wood stove when you've just come inside with cold fingers and toes? In a super-insulated home designed for solar gain, 1 to 2 cords of wood per season can provide all the heat and even some of the hot water. But how about having the convenience of thermostatically controlled heat, with all the benefits of wood as a fuel, but no fuel to lug into or ash to take out of each building? District heating, on a small or large scale, provides an answer. Wood-fired district heating plants are already in use in Vermont. The state heats many state buildings in Montpelier from a single facility, with boilers that use both oil and wood chips. Middlebury College has just completed a wood-fired district heating plant. At the other end of the scale, White Pines co-housing community in East Montpelier uses district heating for 6 families in 3 duplexes and a workshop. The buildings are highly insulated and designed to capture solar power, so a single residential pellet stove powers the whole system. In the middle of the scale is a new complex of dorms at Dartmouth, where a pellet-fired system heats 25 to 30 new dorm buildings containing a total of 104 units, according to Charles Agnew at the company that did the work. Wood-fired district heating plants burn cleaner than even the new wood stoves, and larger systems can be set up to also generate electricity with the heat, capturing even more of the energy in the fuel. Wood chips cost a fraction of the price of oil for the equivalent amount of heat, and while their price goes up when oil prices go up, the spike in wood prices is not as dramatic. In a climate where freezing in the dark is a real possibility, district heating is a neighborhood or community-level solution that could warm many of us. There's real uncertainty, even among those who study oil supply closely, about how much time we have before severe disruptions hit the oil-powered economy. Resilience author Sharon Astick recently argued that there may not be enough time to weatherize our existing buildings and outfit them with local, renewable heat sources. She suggested that we concentrate our resources on community buildings so we'd all have somewhere to go that is warm and functional. In Vermont, 20% of children already attend a school heated with wood chips. Converting the rest of the schools would be good insurance for taxpayers against oil price increases, and for everyone against suddenly finding the oil or propane truck has suspended deliveries. I'm Carl Entnayer, and that's this week's Peak Oil Check-In.
Peak Oil Check-In was produced by Relocalizing Vermont Productions in association with WGDR Plainfield.